Well, good morning. This is Chris Johnson, pastor of Albertville First Baptist Church. We are proud to bring this broadcast to you today through WQSB. We have what we are calling a pastor's roundtable. We have been interviewing for a number of weeks different pastors, and today I'm excited because I have two of our staff ministers from Albertville First Baptist Church. You're going to get to hear their story. So let me introduce them to you really quickly. First of all, we have Dr. Don Blakeney. He is our worship pastor, and we're excited to have him. Don, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you very much for having me.
How long have you been at our church? Now, I should know this, but I don't remember.
You should know this. No, I've only been here a little over 2 years.
2 long years. Oh, wait. No, that's not. Sorry. No, it's been a great 2 years, and we're thankful for Don being here. And then we also have our newest staff member, Ms. Pam Morris, who is our Minister of Children and Young Families. Good morning, Pam.
Hi there. How are you this morning?
Well, I am great. So now you have been with us officially how long?
Oh, man, about 2.5 months.
Yes, and what's crazy is you started right right before this pandemic started, so you're still trying to get to know our folks. You haven't been around them a whole lot.
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, we're excited to have you here today as well.
Thank you.
So real quickly, before I have these two share their testimony and share a scripture that's important to them, I want to take a moment to remind you how you can connect with us at Albertville First Baptist Church. So every Sunday, you can watch our live stream and participate online Sundays at 10:15 a.m. each Sunday morning. That is available at albertvillefbc.church, and we would love for you to participate. There are multiple ways you can find us. You can find us there at the website or through Facebook Live as well, and we'll be there every single Sunday. We have been for several years. We've ramped up what that looks like for this time where people have been social distancing, and we will continue that even though now we are also back to in-person worship. So you also can join us in person on Sundays. We have two worship options right now, 8:30 a.m. or 10:15 a.m. Now, the 8:30 a.m. service is designed specifically for people who would be at higher risk for COVID-19 or for people who maybe have other health issues or in precautions that they want to be extra cautious. So with the 8:30 a.m. service only, we are requiring face masks. Now, I realize that some people, that's not something they can wear. Well, for you, we would invite you to the 10:15 a.m. service where that is totally optional, encouraged but optional. But at 8:30 a.m. service, we are still making that requirement. We might change that in the weeks to come, but according to guidelines that have been given now from the CDC, from our state, we feel this is best for us to have this option. So 8:30 a.m., you can come. We have every other row marked off. We have a way you can keep good social distancing, and there's plenty of room for you if you would like to join us this Sunday. We will have our normal worship, and then we will also have a message, and we will have you out by 9:30 to make a way where we can clean our facility and turn things around to be ready for our next group at 10:15 a.m. Now, right now, we do not have any in-person children's ministry. We're not yet at that place. We hope that it will happen before too long, but at this point, everything is still online. So we have what we call I Worship Kids Style. It's every Wednesday at 6 p.m. And the last few weeks, it's been Don and Pam who have been leading that. And it usually lasts about 20 minutes. They do an excellent job with it. You'll get to hear some great music you can sing along with. That Pam always presents a great Bible story for the children and lesson and a way to apply that. There's crafts and some activities to do. So we would invite all families to have your children watch. And you can go to our website to see all of the archived episodes of that, 10 weeks worth. And you can also get the information for the new ones. Now, if you're listening right now and you're listening and the radio is important to you because you do not have internet at home or you do not have at least a computer that you could watch a live stream, but you're not quite yet ready to go back to an in-person worship service, well, we have a solution for you. We have a phone number. If you'll write this down, it's 1-855-539-6018. And I'm going to give that out at the very end again as well. So go ahead and grab your pen and paper and be ready. And that is designed so that you can dial that number at 10:15 on Sunday mornings, and you can listen live to our broadcast. Now, there's one little button you can push the first time you call. It'll ask you the question if you want to do this, and here's the fun thing. It will actually call you every Sunday at 10:15, and all you have to do is answer, and you can listen to our service. So that number again is 1-855-539-6018. That's a toll-free number. I'll give that out again at the end of the service. But as we begin today, we usually begin with the song, so we're going to start right now with Don singing the song, How Great Thou Art.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Thou art. And when I think that God is Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Don, for that song. I enjoyed that very much, and we appreciate I tell you, one of my favorite parts of worship, as much as I love the orchestra, as much as I love all the instruments, and I love the choir, I'll be honest, Don, I love it when it's just you and an acoustic guitar. I really do.
Really?
I really do. I love that acoustic unplugged feel. I mean, I you do a great
People
job.
People can't
with
see
that.
Your facial expressions on the
I'm being serious. I really do like that.
No,
I
appreciate it. I actually enjoy it. It's fun for me because it just kind of gets me to be very simplistic in worship, and I feel like a lot of times we lose sight of simplicity.
Well, and we're very blessed with some incredible musicians and vocalists at our church, and in an effort to do the best job we can to glorify the Lord in worship, we can get wrapped up so much in so much that's going on that we can miss that some of the best worship is to strip all that down and just be able to sing to the Lord. So I'm thankful that you lead us that way, that we're not cookie cutter. We just do one thing only, that we mix it up. I appreciate that. And it's great. Hey, you know what? This would be fun if we could get you to take requests over the radio.
Oh, golly. Well, I mean, within reason. There's got to be something I actually sort of know.
I got you. Well, I'll tell you, there's a hymn from the hymn book from the 80s, the Baptist hymnal. And if you're listening and you're not from our denominational tradition,
it
Southern Baptist.
It better not be hymn number 20.
So
hymn number 20.
There's a hymn that would be perfect because this past week they've been working on the launch of the two astronauts from SpaceX. There's a hymn called God of Earth and Outer
hymn
Space.
Hymn number 20, the 1975 hymnal. Very familiar with it. My dad used to take it in hymn request time when that was a big thing. Someone would always request it in the youth group, and they'd say, oh, hymn number 20. Dad would do it.
Well, listen, as your pastor and friend, it's very rare that I will veto you on something. We always have an open democracy around here, but please hear me say this. You can never sing God of Earth and Outer Space in church. Now, listen, if you're the person who wrote that and you're out there listening to this somehow today, I'm sorry, but it's one of it's my least favorite hymn in the hymn book. But anyway, that's okay. So, Don, would you start today by, first of all, share with us your testimony, how you came
sure.
to Jesus.
Well, I don't have a very groundbreaking, earth-shattering testimony. I was very fortunate because I was raised in a Christian home. You know, being the son of a former worship pastor and eventually transitioning into a pastor, I not only learned about Jesus in the church, I learned it at home. And so on April 7th of 1996, I asked Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of my life. And I'm thankful to have that genealogy of faith. You know, I believe, and my dad will correct me if I'm wrong, I think I'm a fifth or sixth generation worship pastor.
Are you serious?
Yes.
That's awesome.
And so it's and you know, I'm thankful for that genealogy of faith that goes back farther than records even exist. So I eventually, you know, fast forward, I eventually surrendered the call in college and have been serving in a full-time or part-time worship ministry since then. And I married my wife, Sarah, in 2007, and we have two adorable children. I'm supposed to say adorable because I'm on the radio.
That's right. I'm good.
As
go ahead. Don't say their names. Go
Caleb,
ahead.
who's 11, and Leah, who is 9.
Right.
And that's my testimony.
So you came to Christ at a young age. What, growing up in a pastor's home, I am a pastor. I have kids, but I did not grow up in a pastor's home. So was there a lot of pressure with that? Was there a lot of difficulty
Extreme
with that?
Extreme pressure. We had to put on the face, the show, and I mean, we had a lot of people looking at us, and you know, it was hard. It was hard being a pastor's kid. It wasn't easy.
So if you're like me, I have worked hard, and again, that's, you know, your parents doing the best what they know how in a day and age, and where they were doing that. I have worked hard to not make my children feel like they had to be something different because they were the pastor's child. I want them to know that they can be themselves. Now, they're still going to come to church every time the doors open.
Yes,
they're still going to be here. They're going to be involved. But I didn't want them, if possible, to feel the pressure of, well, I'm the pastor's child, so I got to be this way. I want them to know, and I want them to see me. Well, they do see me in a normal light. And so I think that's important as well. And I know you're doing that with your kids as well.
We are trying to do that with our kids. You know, I love both my parents very much.
Sure, they're great folks.
And they're wonderful folks. I mean, I can't attest to what my other sisters would say, but I would say the same thing. I would say they would think the same thing. It was hard. It was very hard.
Yes. So. Well, so before you came here, you were working on a degree that you finished while you right after you moved here, and that was your doctorate of worship. So take a second. You know, with each doctorate, you have to deal with a thesis or you deal with a dissertation of some type. So what was yours about?
So I need to do a quick backstory. The whole purpose of even achieving a doctorate, I just recently got my master's in 2012 through Liberty as well.
Liberty University.
Lynchburg, yeah. And so after that, I began to see a lot of my mentors, a lot of my older, you know, generation leaders being let go,
right,
or unceremoniously fired just because of, I guess, age or just or whatever, but not doing anything wrong, just
right,
you know, being let go. And, you know, after praying with my wife and saying, you know, I don't want to be another statistic. I want to be further educated so that I can have something to fall back on, because a lot of my peers, my mentors, didn't have advanced degrees. They had maybe bachelor's, master's, right, at the most. So so anyway, back in 2016, I sort of transitioned out of full-time worship ministry, which was a shocker because it was the only thing that my family had ever known. We'd only known full-time ministry. We'd only known full-time service. But what was really cool about it is it allowed God to open my eyes to something I was too blind to see from my full-time bubble.
Right.
And so he showed me another side of ministry, which was bivocational or part-time ministry. During this time, I also had the opportunity to interact with other bivocational and part-time worship leaders. I began to see their plight. Many wanted to serve and lead worship to their body of believers, but they served churches that didn't have the resources to,
right,
support their education or further training. And even in some instances, these part-time bivo leaders were not compensated. So,
right,
I noticed an even bigger trend after that. There was a problem across all churches, and if the decline that churches have seen in the past few decades continues, this current trend of part-time worship leaders would only continue to grow.
Right.
And so one of the things I appreciated when I got into Marshall County is the spirit of cooperation that these churches have.
Right.
Regardless of denomination, too. That's what's even more shocking. It's not, mm-hmm, just the Baptist Association. It's the whole,
sure,
church body, the whole kingdom work. So for my dissertation, I actually surveyed part-time worship leaders across the country, and I think I had over 50 different ones. And one of the things I noticed in most surveys is that worship leaders struggled with feeling abandoned or overwhelmed,
right,
with their responsibilities. And I noticed just because that they were titled part-time or bivocational, we had to remember that they were doing a full-time job in addition to what they were doing. And sometimes that didn't equivalent to 15 hours. Sometimes they were giving even more. So,
right,
I mean, do the math. That's a lot of hours,
sure,
invested in work. And so one of the easiest ways for the church as a whole to deal with this feeling of abandonment and overwhelmment is the issue of cooperation. We need to see other churches as our fellow brothers and sisters striving for the same goal and share our resources and education. So an example would be if a smaller church can rely on a bigger church for help, God can be glorified by that.
Right.
There's a lot of small churches who I know right now can name off five just in our area that are in need of a part-time worship leader,
right,
or a part-time any kind of pastor. I love that Marshall County is already working on ways to help small churches. Our pastors and leaders have great relationships, and I'm going to plug you if you don't mind. I don't know if anybody on the radio has seen what Chris has done with the Shepherds of Sand Mountain, but that's another way that we've been able to kind of just know the backstory of a lot of our pastors in the area, and it's been great. So,
you know, and there was a day and time where everyone thought, okay, I'll be a bivocational minister until I can find a full-time position. That's such horrible thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so thankful because the backbone of ministry in our in our area and really all across our nation are bivocational pastors, people that are called to do that, people that have a calling to have what we will call secular employment, another job, another ways to earn their living, that then will also invest in God's people. You know, we have to get past the idea that every church is going to be large. We would be, if you look at national statistics, our church would be considered a medium-sized church. And then there are several really large churches, but the normative size church. I love how I was reading a book recently by Mark Clifton who deals with church revitalization. And he talked about this, that we have to get away from saying small churches and big churches. We need to say normative churches because the normal size is well under 200 people. And so that's the normal in our area. And so what we want to do, and not just our area, our nation, we need to make sure guys like you who have worked hard to get a dissertation together to get some information to help, and other people can focus their effort and attention on helping to come alongside and equip bivocational people. Especially, I believe, it's difficult for worship leaders because there are a number of bivocational pastors, and there's some ways that they can get training. There are not a lot of ways for music ministers to get the help. So I'm thankful for your willingness. I know you've already reached out to a few people. You've been to help in certain ways. So thank you for that. My hope and prayer is that we can find ways to do that even more because I agree with you. I know of a number of churches who are looking. So if you are a church and you're listening, you attend a church that maybe you have a part-time worship leader or maybe a volunteer worship leader, or maybe you're looking for one right now, can I give you a word of encouragement? When that person does come along, be their biggest supporter, be their biggest fan, be the one who will come along and encourage them along the way because what they're doing is difficult. So thank you for sharing that, Don. I appreciate it. Well, let me ask you this. What about a scripture? Is there something that maybe lately the Lord has laid on your heart that you would just share a quick scripture and then just a word or two of what it means to you, maybe how it would apply to folks who are listening?
Sure. So my scripture verse has been kind of my theme verse after college. There was a lot of uncertainty of what was I going to do after college. I had no idea. So my scripture is Matthew 6:33, and it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you." And if you're familiar with that passage, I encourage you to read Matthew 6:25-34, where it talks about the cure for anxiety and the cure for worry. Because after college, I was worried. I didn't know what I was going to do. I knew that eventually I was going to be off my parents' insurance,
right,
and I'd have to go on my own. I really was worried about, all right, God, what would you have me do? You know, I've got this degree from Mobile University. Now what do I do with it? What am I going to do? So, and it really, really hit home. Matthew 6:33 hit home when I transitioned out of full-time ministry in 2016. It was a very big step of faith.
Can we talk about that for a minute? And I got your permission ahead of time. We talked about this earlier, but you know, that was a difficult season for you in some ways. So coming out, because you know, there are very few ministers that you can find who at the end of their ministry career didn't have at least one difficult season in a church somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And so when you had that, do you mind being transparent and talk a little bit about the fact that you just said, I can't do this? I mean, what?
Yeah.
And when you stepped back, you went to work for Lifeway. I'm not asking for any details.
But one of the things I did, and listen, and don't get me wrong, my sole purpose in doing church ministry is to protect the church. I want to protect the bride of Christ in everything that I do. And so if I'm not being effective somewhere, I need to move out.
Right.
I need to transition out. And that's not a slight to me or to the church or anybody else. If I'm not being able to be effective, I need to step away so somebody else can.
Sure.
The same thing would apply here. So when I transitioned from there into Lifeway, it was very different for me because I had gotten into a part-time role and had no interest in getting back into church ministry. I was that tired of it. And it wasn't a shot necessarily at people I worked with. I just was exhausted from it. And so when I worked at Lifeway, just doing part-time work, just making a paycheck, honestly.
Right.
And just trying to, I guess, ride the corporate ladder up there, slowly started easing back into church ministry. And I remember having conversations with God going, okay, I appreciate this, but no thanks. he would just, you know, God has a way of making you do something even when you don't want to.
Right.
And so I feel like a lot of times he was grabbing me by the shirt tail and just bringing me along. No, you're going to do this. You're going to do this. And eventually, you know, the church that kind of helped restore that calling was Prince Avenue in Georgia. And here I am today, and it's been really
good. And to know that when God places a call on your life, even in seasons of difficulty, He doesn't promise that it's always going to be easy.
No.
And even in seasons of difficulty, there may be a time you got to step back. But to know that He didn't give up on you, He didn't say, "Well, Don, you walked away, so I'm done." Mm-hmm. In fact, He drew you back in. Maybe gently, maybe not so gently, drew you back in. And that's the beautiful thing, is that God does not give up on us. And I would say to anyone who's listening, if you have been trying to be a part of some ministry, whether it's you're teaching 5-year-olds in Sunday school, or whether you are working at the soup kitchen somewhere, whatever you're doing for the kingdom, and you see some struggles, and maybe you want to step back for a little while, can I encourage you to know that even in those seasons of rest and removal, that God's not giving up on you, and He will continue to restore us to ministry and to opportunity, and He wants us all to be used by Him.
Absolutely.
So I'm thankful for that. So that scripture really applies to that as well.
It does.
Because really, if you're seeking first the kingdom of God, it's not about, am I seeking the job I want? Am I seeking this? And then, of course, He builds your love again for something. And so we're thankful that God restored you to that ministry there in Georgia, and then you were able to come and be here the past couple of years.
And I will say this, Chris, the best part about that season of our life was that when we thought that, you know, when we thought that we were struggling financially,
right,
God gave even more. And we saw that
always
even,
provided.
Even, we always provided, continue, more so than we've ever imagined.
Right.
And so it was just, when I look back at that verse, I go, I have nothing to worry about. My God fights for me. My God has me. So
that's awesome. Well, thank you very much. Well, with that being said, there's a song that talks about the fact that we can build our lives on the foundation of who He is. So, Don, sing this song, Build My Life.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for You. Oh, we live for You. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for You. Oh, we live for You. And holy, there is no one like You. There is none beside You. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who You are and fill me with Your heart and lead me in Your love to those around me. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for You. Oh, we live for You. And holy, there is no one like You. There is none beside You. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken.
Thank you very much for that song again. What a great song. We're going to shift our attention now to Miss Pam. Pam, we are so thrilled to have you at the church. And I would love, before we talk about your ministry career and the things that God has allowed you to be a part of work-wise, I'd love for you to take just a second and talk about your personal testimony, how you came to Jesus.
Okay, I'll do that. I, like Dawn, was raised in a Christian home. My mother and my father, as far back as I can remember, even as a little bitty girl, some of my earliest memories are of my dad sitting in the morning having his devotional time, his quiet time with God. And I can remember Mom praying with me at night, reading me a Bible story, saying grace at dinner or at breakfast. I mean, all those things are very powerful memories to me. And church was a huge part of our family life. I mean, it was something that was very important to both my parents, but it was also important that they direct me in the right way and to help me grow in my relationship with God. So I actually grew up in many different places. That's kind of crazy to say, but my dad worked for the highway department in Alabama. He was a civil engineer. And so we moved around a lot, not outside the state, but within the state. So I had several different homes. And that was something that was so important to my parents as we would move to another place. Obviously, my mom would find us a home, a place to live, but probably the second thing was a church. You know, they wanted that home to be near to a church that where we could you know, find a church family and a home there, and we always did. Mm. And you know, even as a little girl, the way that my parents went about that and making that transition for me was smooth. I mean, I miss my old church and my old church family, but I would begin to love and to embrace the new church, and so I can remember Sunday school, and we used to have trade union. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we had trade union, and that was every Sunday. And then Bible school every summer. Yes. That was huge. And I was a GA, and then I was an Act Teen, and you know, just all my life, very, very, very involved in the church. But I do remember, and you know, right now we're kind of in the middle of our virtual VBS and here at our church, and you know, I have a really, really strong feeling towards Bible school because that's where I came to know Christ myself, right. And so many boys and girls do. But I know before that, I remember just feeling different. I felt like God was talking to me, trying to tell me something. My parents had prayed with me and talked with me, and I'd shared my feelings with them and kind of what I felt like God was saying to me and where I was. And so after that Bible school that year, I asked my parents, you know, I said, I'm ready. I know that that I'm ready to ask Jesus to come to my heart. And so our pastor came over. He spoke with me, and we prayed the sinner's prayer. And after that, I can remember, even as a young girl, and I was only 11 years old, but I can remember walking away from that conversation that night with him feeling totally different. Totally different.
Right.
Just like I knew that God had a plan for me. There was something special going to happen. And, you know, my parents guided me all through that. But one particular Bible school that kind of resonates with me is one where a special friend of mine, and I know you know them, Cindy and McKennedy.
Right.
And she was a church friend of mine, grew up with me in my church and in the youth group. And I remember when Cindy made the call to ministry, to foreign ministry. And I can remember going home and thinking, wow, that's incredible. And I kind of was like, you know, God called me. Come on, you know, what do you want me to do? Can I do that?
Sure.
You know, that kind of thing. But that wasn't what God had in store for me. You know, as I got a little older in my teenage years, I truly felt God calling me to teach.
Yes.
And I knew that's what he wanted me to do. And so I went to college, got my degree. I have a degree in early childhood and elementary, and was very blessed to teach, like I said, 25 years in Marshall County.
Now, where all did you teach?
I taught at DAR. I started there. I did 2 years at DAR in kindergarten, and then I transferred to Grassy, which is now Brindley Mountain Elementary, but at the time it was Grassy Elementary, and I was there for 23 years.
Well, and so in the grade, you taught kindergarten and first grade?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, and that is a ministry in itself. I have a wife who's a teacher, and we have a lot of teachers in our church and of course, so many in our community that love the Lord. And I think about that, how important godly teachers are in the lives of children. I think back to teachers that influenced me growing up. And, you know, there are certain ones that stand out for different reasons. I got to be honest, I don't really have many that stand out because I felt like it was just an incredible way they taught me. What stands out are the ones of how they loved me, how they connected with me, how they really pretty much invested in me. And so as a teacher, you had the opportunity for many, many years to do that. And then as you retired from that, another opportunity opened up for ministry. Talk about what was next.
Yes, sir. In 2010, my husband, we found out that he had cancer. And we knew that was going to take him on a medical journey, but also us as a couple,
right,
on a journey together. And I could have at that time retired. I chose not to, just to see what I needed to do to help Joe and to be with him and support him. So in 2012, and I wasn't really looking. You know, I was going to go from teaching kindergarten to teaching preschool, and I was pretty excited about that. That was going to be something new for me, and I was looking forward to that year. And out of the blue, an opportunity just came to me, you know, to direct a preschool.
Yes.
And that's at Gunnersville First Methodist Church.
Which is a great program. Still is a great program.
Very good program. Certainly thriving. I think they're about to go back in a couple of weeks. The girls are getting ready right now. After I accepted that position during that summer, I was sitting there thinking, whoa, what have I done? You know, I miss not getting ready to go back to my kids. I miss not getting ready to go back to teaching. I miss my friends. I miss just that atmosphere. And I remember one morning as Joe had gone to treatment, I was sitting there getting ready for work, and I still contemplating, wow, what, you know, do I need to just go back to school?
Right.
What do I need to do? I remember God just really touching my heart and speaking to me that morning and saying, you know, Pam, you've had a wonderful, blessed career. You know, you've touched so many children, but they've touched you in return. Mm-hmm. Not only the children, but their families and the administration and my teacher friends. And just, you know, I've just been so blessed there. But I have another path for you. And if you take that path, you don't have to worry about the other. You know, it's going to be the right path. And so I did. I never looked back after that day. I went to work that day at the preschool, and it was a wonderful day every day.
And how long were you there?
I was there for 8 years.
So you spent over 25 years teaching, mm-hmm. and then 8 years directing weekday preschool at a wonderful church in Gunnersville.
Yes, sir.
And then now have been with us for just a couple of months as children's minister. And here's what I would say to anyone who's listening. I hope no one hears that and says, so she taught, and then she directed, and now she's a minister. No. All of that is ministry. If you are a teacher, you are a minister. If you are working at a preschool, directing a preschool, you're a minister. If you're a children's minister, you're a minister. The reality is that if you know Jesus, we are all called to a life of ministry. We are all called to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and it just looks differently. It's in different places and in different ways. But I'm thankful, and I hope if you're listening and you don't consider that, you maybe you put your pastor up on a shelf or a pedestal, not a shelf. Don't put him on a shelf. don't put him on a pedestal either. You put him somewhere, okay? But if you think, okay, well, that's someone who's a minister, and then there's me. No. Can I tell you, there is nothing scriptural about that. We are all called to be priests of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I would encourage you, wherever God has planted you, bloom there. Wherever you are, know that you are God's man or woman on the scene there. You can make a difference. You may say, well, I'm retired. What do I do with that? God's got you to be God's man or woman on the scene wherever you're around people and whatever you're doing. So I'm thankful for that. So, Pam, share a scripture that's important to you with us.
Well, a scripture that's important to me and something that's kind of resonating in my heart right now, and it's a favorite of a lot of people, is right. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And I think the reason that really touches me very profoundly right now is because right now, in the midst of everything going on around us, we have to trust God, and we have to trust His plan. And, you know, we're kind of returning to a new kind of normal.
Right.
And I remember the best growth comes from persevering during adversity. You know, you have to keep on keeping on and not trying to run from it, you know, not trying to hide from it. But during these trials, you're going to find joy.
Right.
And that's what, you know, we need to do right now. You know, over the last couple of months, we've found ways to work from home. We've
right.
found ways to enjoy our family in a different way,
sure.
you know, and even more, and ways to meet the needs of our community. And I think that's the amazing thing about God, is even in the midst of this, when we are a little uneasy about it, and
right.
we're a little curious about what the future holds, that He provides an opportunity for us to continue to share His love and just bring joy to others.
That's good.
That's pretty amazing.
That's good. And, you know, and I love that passage, which, of course, God was speaking directly to Israelites when He said it. And what's interesting is that it in the context of what it's saying and then what it's calling them to do, it's not promising them that everything's going to be perfect, but it's about, you mentioned joy, the idea that joy is based on our walk with God, and that we may still walk through some valleys and some difficulties and some pandemics and, you know, things like that, but the truth is that if we will stay close to Him, if we will stay focused on Him, we can experience that joy you're talking about. We can walk in that all the time. So you're exactly right. That's good. I have one scripture I'll share this week. As I've been preparing, we're starting a new message series today. This is when this is airing on Sunday, the 31st of May. We're starting a new message series today entitled Summer Pray List. And in that Summer Pray List, it's a play off of the words, play on words based off of when I was a kid, we made summer playlists. I grew up in a day and age, Don, you're young, but I grew up in a day and age that everybody had cassette tapes.
I still have cassette tapes.
Okay. So I would catch the songs, my favorites. I can think back to one quintessential year, one of the best years of music ever. It's known as 1984. And in 1984, my goal was to try to catch all the big songs. And then that year, that's the year that this little-known song by a guy named Michael Jackson came out called Thriller. That's the year that the best pop recording artist of all time, Lionel Richie, came out with the song Hello, Hello. Is it me you're looking for? Anyway, yes, that's when that came out. Huey Lewis in the News, Chicago, Phil Collins. I had this whole little group that I wanted to get. And so the idea behind this is that I had many different styles of music and genres that I liked, but they were all important to the one who created the list. And so Summer Playlist is many different styles and types of prayers from the Bible, but that were all important to the one that created those people and what it was about. And so we're going to look at that. But I said all that to say this, in preparing for this week's introduction, this passage has jumped out at me. In Isaiah chapter 57, in verse 15, it's in the middle of this, it's dealing with Israel's, they have been in idolatry, and God's dealing with them. At the same time, he's calling them forward and going to move in their life. And listen to this. It says in Isaiah 57:15, "For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." I love how Ronnie Floyd directs or explains that one verse. He says this: God is in heaven, and God is in the humble. God is with those in heaven, and God is with those who are humble. That's a powerful thought. And so for me, it's been a challenge this week to walk in humility. And again, the idea behind that is that I recognize my total need for God. I recognize I can't do it on my own. So that's that daily act of humility to submit and to start with the prayer, God, I need you. I need you to take this day. I need you to do what only you can do. And so it's just been a blessing to me, that particular passage. We'll talk more about that in the days to come. But I want to thank you too for coming and being on here today. I thank you for sharing your testimonies. I thank you for talking a little bit about things that are important to you. I would encourage folks, if you don't have a church that you're a part of and you want to be a part of a worship ministry, Don would and I would love to invite you to come, and he does an excellent job of leading in that way. Now, we don't have a choir right now because of COVID-19 and we can't keep social distances and do so, but if you're the kind of person that likes to sing, we will be doing that again before too long, and so we would invite you back. You would thoroughly enjoy that. Also, if you have children right now, we don't have in-person children's ministry happening, but if you're looking for a church or you're not connected to one, I know Pam would love for you to come and be a part of our church. Hey, listen, she's new here too. You guys can be new together, getting to know everybody, right. So that would be fun.
Absolutely.
She's done an excellent job in the middle of all this, and I'll tell you, if you want to check us out, the easiest way to do that is go to AlbervilleFBC.church and watch the I Worship Kids style. There's 10 episodes, 20 minutes long. You can get a feel for her heart. You can get a feel for our desire to minister to kids, and would encourage you to do so. If you have a prayer request today, please call us. You can call the church office during the week at 256-878-2291. We'd love to pray for you. Or you can text the word pray, P-R-A-Y, to 256-322-6100, and I'll get that today. And we will pray for you. Again, the word pray, P-R-A-Y, to 256-322-6100. Now, I know I've already given out a lot of numbers. I'm going to give out one more. I told you to get a pen and paper handy if you want to listen to our service. Again, that toll-free number to listen on Sunday mornings at 10:15 is 1-855-539-6018. We would love for you to be a part. As we close out today, we will end with one final song. It's one of my favorites, Don, that you lead us in. It's called "Christ Is Mine Forevermore." Enjoy this, and we'll see you next week.
Days that God has numbered, I was made to walk with Him. Yet I look for worldly treasure and forsake the King of Kings. But mine is hope in my Redeemer, though I fall His love is sure, for Christ has paid for every failing. I am His forevermore. By our tears in times of sorrow, darkness not yet understood. Through the valley I must travel, where I see no earthly good. But mine is peace that flows from heaven, and the strength in times of need. I know my pain will not be wasted. Christ completes His work in me. Mine are days here as a stranger, pilgrim on a narrow way. One with Christ I will encounter, harm and hatred for His name. But mine is armor for this battle, strong enough to last the war. And He has said He will deliver safely to the golden shore. And mine are keys to Zion City, where beside the King I walk. For there my heart has found its treasure. Christ is mine forevermore. Rejoice now, O my soul, Christ the Lord, the living hope. Fear is gone and hope is sure, for Christ is mine forevermore. Come rejoice now, O my soul, Christ the Lord, my living hope. Fear is gone and hope is sure, Christ is mine forevermore. And mine are keys to Zion City, where beside the King I walk. For there my heart has found its treasure, Christ is mine forevermore. Christ is mine forevermore. Christ is mine forevermore.